You are listening to The Academy, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
I am your host, Kate Foss. Co-hosting with me tonight is the Reverend Dr. Russell Lackey and my boss.
Yes.
Say hi, Russ.
Hello, Russ. Oh, hi, Kate.
And today we have two guests with us. We have Dr. Gamenchus Buba. He is the Director of Mission for the NALC. He also is the President of Lead Star Television and producer of TV Lobsy Ifa. Did I pronounce that right, Dr. Gamenchus?
Yes.
I did. Wonderful. Okay. And then with Dr. Buba here is Jenny Brockman. She's currently working as Assistant for Missions in the NALC. Jenny, say hi.
Good evening. Or I can say it in Danish. Check this out. Hi. Same in English as Danish. So you all have just learned some Danish. Congratulations.
Nice. Hi. That's helpful. Grandview, we have Danish roots. So hi. People don't even know we're speaking Danish to them. I love it. So both Dr. Buba and Jenny have had a lot of experience in ministry. They're both working in the NALC missions office. And I just really wanted to focus a bit in on your experience in missions and with evangelism today. So to kick us off, I would love to hear, Jenny, how about you start for us? When did you sense a call to ministry, to missions? Was it a different time? And how did that come about for you?
Sure. So I was in high school and, like quite a few high school students, feeling the pressure in the United States. What is my major going to be? What am I going to do with my life? And I was incredibly frustrated because I couldn't figure out where God was calling me. I had lots of different possibilities or ideas, but I would get so frustrated because I would ask, well, what do you want me to do, God? How do you want me to serve? And I felt like there was this silence, nada, nothing. And so I thought, well, all right, then I guess God will tell me eventually. And people were super well-intentioned and they'd say, oh, well, I'm sure that God's got it all figured out and you just need to listen harder or just do this or just do this. And they meant well, but I mean, as you all experience working with Nexus, that actually sometimes causes frustration. So I try to receive that with love and just keep doing what I was doing, going to school. I actually worked while I was in school. And then I volunteered for the Lutheran Youth Organization, interestingly enough, in southeastern Iowa. And so the assistant to the bishop there was so kind. Actually, Dr. Gamenchus, I think you might know Pastor Walter May. He was the assistant to the bishop at the time and very, very kind to me. And my youth director was very kind. They thought, well, maybe you should be a teacher. And so we were praying about that. My mom was a teacher. And I kept leading in the youth ministry areas, and they kept just being very kind to me. And then I was actually on a summer youth trip, and it was my practice every morning to just get up and go for a walk or a run to have a few quiet moments to myself. And on one of those mornings, I had been praying and thinking through scripture, and just like a lightning bolt, I knew I was called to ministry. And it was like this wave of peace and just relief, but it took me like 3 years to get there. And I kept silent for a long time. I didn't tell anyone for about 2 months because I wanted to make sure I was really praying about it thoughtfully. And then I shared with my friends and my youth director and the assistant to the bishop, I think I'm being called to ministry and I want to go to LBI in California. And that happened to be on Concordia Irvine's campus. And at first they all said I was crazy. And then they thought, actually, that sounds right because you like to serve. You like to be there to listen to your friends. You like to tell them about Jesus. And so that was the short, long version of how I ended up where I am today.
Wow, that is amazing. On a run, after 3 years of praying, it just, that peace overcame you. Like, did you feel, what emotions did you feel when that happened? Other than peace, was it relief? Was it nerves? Was it?
I felt relief because finally I had this answer. As well as I was just filled with joy. And later that day, people were asking, you seem really at peace and really happy. Is everything okay? Oh yeah, I'm great. And it was an interesting day for those people who might remember back that far in history there. We were in DC at the time and we narrowly avoided, there was a domestic terrorism incident, and we happened to avoid it by about 2 minutes in DC. And so it was kind of a roller coaster of emotions that day. And at the same time, seeing clearly, if it wasn't evident before, Jesus is needed. The good news of Jesus Christ is needed in our world today. So that kind of added an extra layer on top of it. So,
yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. Dr. Buba, I'd love to hear kind of your experience, how you sensed a call to ministry work.
First of all, thank you very much, Kate and Russ, for inviting us. Jenny and I work in the North American Lutheran Church Missions Office with great joy and as great partners in ministry, and we've been so blessed in this journey. Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home. I was baptized by a Lutheran missionary from Germany, and grew up in Africa, in Ethiopia. And my father was one of the first converts to evangelical Christianity by Lutheran missionaries from Sweden. So I grew up in a Christian home, but being a minister or being a missionary or being a Christian worker was far, far, far from what was on my mind. So I was just a normal pastor's kid, grew up in the church, running around the church building. And I did not like to be a preacher. I enjoyed Christian music, and we come when there is Christian music in, and when the sermon starts, we go out and play football. And then when the sermon is almost over, the ushers would tip us, and then we would come back. And we had great choirs and great music in the church, so we enjoyed that. And I think now I'm getting a payback for that with me as a preacher.
Russ, you've got some kids that run around.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's the joy of being a pastor's kid. You can run around a big church. It's fun.
Exactly.
Second home.
And then when I was senior in high school, I started to fail in love with the Bible. I failed in love with the Bible. And so I sensed a call to ministry through a great affection for the Bible. For some reason, I just fell in love with the Bible starting from grade 10 and 11. And I started just reading through it. And Abraham and Moses and David and Paul and Peter and Jesus and all the main characters in the scripture became my best friends. So I enjoyed it. So to my father's surprise and to the surprise of a lot of church leaders, when I decided to go to seminary, everybody made a unanimous decision to say no.
Oh, wow.
Everybody said, you're not going. You've never, let alone being a minister of the gospel, we have never even seen you to sit through a sermon. You don't even listen to a sermon, let alone preach a sermon. So everybody said, at that time, you don't go to seminary unless you are sent by your local church, by your congregation, unless the congregation says, votes in. Everybody unanimously voted no. So I had to go ask, so if you get financial support from somewhere else, you can go as a private student, which means someone who just goes by himself. So I was the only private student in the class. So everybody would say, I'm sent by this congregation, sent by this congregation, sent by this congregation. And they come to me and ask me, who sent you? I just came by myself. just showed up. And my father really had a great influence on me, and there were some pastors, but my father was really the main influence. And then as soon as I joined seminary, this is the Oromo Bible, and at that time this was just printed and came on market. And we had a big shortage. So I still have it on my desk. And I bought this, and it's still written on it. It was in 1994, 95. And they used to sell this for 110 birr, Ethiopian birr, 110, which is equivalent to maybe $4 or $5. And it took me 1 year to pay it in full. So I took it on credit, and I was paying every month from my monthly seminary allowance. And it took me a year to pay off this Bible. So that's why it is still proudly sitting on my desk every year, every day.
Absolutely.
So my call to ministry really came because of my love for scripture.
Love that. Thank you. Next question I have is, so we heard your call to ministry. Was there another specific call to mission work specifically, a specific area, something that grabbed your heart, something in scripture that just made you go, I need to go, and I need to go now or here? Jenny, I know Jenny used to work with Pastor Russ, and she has a fun little story of her call to missions. Love to hear a little bit about that, Jenny.
Well, at first, you guys have to know how much fun Pastor Russ is. We used to have a really good time, and I share that oftentimes Reformation Lutheran Church, if anyone ever sees this, was the training ground for everything I learned in ministry and mission, because they were so patient and so kind. And we were all so young. Our organist was 16. I was 20 when I started working there. I mean, Pastor Russ and his wife were young too. And they were such faithful lovers of the word of God. And so they were patient to let us do all these things. And so, you know, the accidental, most churches would get really mad if you leave a mark on the carpet. And there was a really big line that still to this day is like left on the carpet from duct tape. He's remembering how much, yeah. But it was a beautiful time to watch all these students come to faith in Jesus Christ. The word of God literally reached out and grabbed them. There were like, what, 12 people in the church when Pastor Russ got there. By the time that I left, 160 on a Sunday, but not Christians transferring in necessarily from other places, but people who are coming to faith. Mm-hmm. And people who were different than me. And so watching as that happened, and just really seeing how the word of God can literally transform someone's life from being a former gangbanger to then, I mean, being the one that's literally dragging their friends in the door and saying, I cannot stand that people don't know Jesus. And so, I mean, literally dragging their friends in and having that opportunity to learn and grow. And my plan was to stay at Reformation for a very long time. I loved the ministry. I felt called. There was no question in my mind. And I had a friend who kept calling me and saying, hey, we have this spot that needs to be filled in Denmark. And I thought, Denmark, that's a Christian country. You don't need. So he would call about once a month and tell me about, you know, the ministry that he was really praying about doing. And then he would say, but we need help. Will you come? And I said, you don't need me. And I have a call where I am. And I'm very rooted firmly in this call. And kept calling and calling, you know, about once a month just to chat. And one night, my friend was a little time zone challenged, we'll say that, reminiscent of some of my current work now. But at 2 a.m, he called because he didn't realize it was 2 a.m. And so he calls at 2 a.m. and I think it's an emergency. So I answer the phone and he's just calling to share about his prayer concerns and, he and his wife, what they're doing and their work. And Jenny, you know, we need your help. And I said, I am called 100% to where I am at. And he said, well, promise me this. Pray about it. I'm like, fine, I'll pray about it. So I opened up my Bible to the book of Colossians after I hung up the phone and I just start reading. And within the first 8 verses, I slammed my Bible shut. Please don't ever do this. I threw it across the room, actually. I was so frustrated and excited. And I said, I'm called to Denmark. What? I mean, because you can be called to missions domestically, but also internationally. And so I'm called to, I don't even know about this country. How can I be called? And so I spent a little more time, obviously, in prayer. And then Pastor Russ was on vacation.
Yes, I was.
He was on vacation. And he and his wife, I knew they were at home. They hadn't left yet with their brand new baby, Abigail. And so I said, he knew it was important because I called him on his vacation. I said, I really need to talk to you, Pastor Russ. And he said, well, why don't you come over for dinner? And I actually remember the words, I don't think you're going to want me to stay for dinner. But the baby was crying, so he didn't hear me say that. So I come over, they hand me the baby for a few moments. We go out for dinner. His wife had made a lovely meal that we stopped eating a few bites in as I shared with a sleeping baby in his arms that I was called to go overseas to serve because I knew he wouldn't yell or be mad because he would wake up the baby. So I don't advise doing that, by the way. Don't ever quit a job that way. But that's how I literally got called to Denmark. So Colossians has a very special place in my heart. I would say not just want all the verses, but yes. Yeah, so don't quit a job that way.
And I'll just say, I'll add this part in, Jenny. Your last day was the day I was returning from vacation. So it's like, oh, great. I have to send you off on that day. But then you said even more than that, you said, Russ, you should not have been preaching about missions. It's your fault. You preach about missions. And so I went. So guess what? You can only blame yourself as you're holding my child. So yeah. Thanks there, Jenny. Yes. I can't wait to get you back sometime. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's great. Jenny, do you remember like what verse it was? Would you be willing to share that with us?
No, I'll look it up. And I mean, Colossians, I will read. This is a book that I will read on a regular basis, just because to me it speaks volumes more than just those particular days. But it's just fascinating to me how God works. So it begins, I'll just skip ahead to starting at verse 3, where it says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it is done among you since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth. How can you hear, how can you know if you haven't heard?" Mm-hmm. And the Christians that I had heard about in Denmark, their faith, Pastor Russ has been there, Dr. Gementius has been there, they are so on fire. You walk into the room and it's tangible, it's different. And so the few that I had met, so here's God just pouring over me, the Holy Spirit pouring over me. And my only response was, "Here I am, send me." So,
yeah.
So off I went. And yeah, I've forgotten. You had preached about missions a lot. It is still your fault. So I can still help you.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Gementius, would you speak a little bit to, why specifically missions, evangelism? I know you have some television experience and all of that. If you could just give us a little background.
Thank you very much, Pas. Growing up in a mission tradition, all I knew was being a church, being a Christian means being in mission. Mm-hmm. And it is, for me, it's synonymous. It is not something that you do with a special call or your special assignment. If you are a Christian, you are in mission. The reason we are called is to be sent. There is no other reason. The reason we are saved and justified by grace is to be sent so that we can share that good news. There is no other reason why we're living here on this planet. So I grew up around missionaries who left the comfort of Germany, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, and United States and other countries to come and share the good news of Jesus Christ in Africa. And they lived with us, they served with us, and I grew up watching them. And then my father and others became evangelists and missionaries, so sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ outside their comfort zone. Very, very treacherous, dangerous areas. So growing up in that kind of tradition, in that kind of practice, really ingrained in my mind. So there is no other reason why there is no professional Christianity where you become a Christian to go to church once a week.
Right.
That is, I don't understand that kind of Christianity. You become a Christian to live a Christ-like life, which is sharing everything, your word, your talent, your mind, your imagination, your presence, your love, your smile, your clothes, your money, your food, your knowledge, everything that you have, everything that is given to you so that you can share it. Mm-hmm. And to share it in the name of Jesus and for the glory of Jesus. So that is the tradition that I grew up in. And then as soon as I went to seminary, and I was just started preaching, traveling and preaching in the country. And the first country that I went out of Ethiopia was Djibouti, a small country on the Red Sea coast with almost 99.9% Muslim country. So it was an interesting mission journey. And then off to the United States and many, many, many countries throughout the world for the glory of God. And it gives me a hard time to understand when people contain themselves and contain the good news of Jesus Christ in their heart and just sit without doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I love sharing. And I started television ministry almost 9-8 years ago in the basement of my apartment in Ohio. And like a 30-minute program on a television network that was being broadcast from England. And then that grew and grew and grew. Now it became into 3 24-hour television networks. And broadcasting the gospel all the way from Morocco in North Africa to Pakistan, that entire time zone, including the Middle East, East Africa, Ethiopia, and then on digital media to millions of people. So sharing is the driving motto, and going and giving and being sent is the driving motto for my life. And it's none from me, but all because of what I have received. I can't sit still because of what I have received, because of what I am given is so precious that I can't contain it. It overflows. It's the nature of the gospel. It just gushes out of your mouth. You can't keep quiet. It just gushes out of your mouth. The good news of Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Gementius, I'm curious, in your work in preaching and evangelism, you said it's TV and also radio, is that right?
Yes.
I'm curious, with this broad broadcast going on, do you have a lot of people trying to get in contact with you to have further discussions? And if so, how do you handle all of those people that want to talk more about Jesus?
That's an excellent question. I usually compare my ministry with my father. My father have a connection with very limited number of people, even until now. But when I travel around the world, I meet people who met my father and who had a relationship with him. How deep his ministry is, very deep and one-to-one. So deep that their life is transformed and blessed and empowered, and that they grow to become disciples of Christ for a lifetime, and they become great leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because he has a one-to-one, he listens to you like you are the only person on the planet, and he lets you say whatever you have in your heart. And then he responds in a kindest way, and he builds you up. And then when you leave a conversation with him, you leave extremely built. He has that kind of ministry. I don't have that kind of ministry. One-to-one ministry is not my gift. And I like broadcasting the gospel to a wide array of people. And when I meet you personally, I love you to death. I give you every attention, every blessing, every prayer. And when I'm gone, I'm somewhere in India. So if people expect the same kind of attention that I give them while I'm with them, they will be disappointed with me. So usually Jenny and others will come back, will come behind and clean up all the mess that I create.
Is that right, Jenny?
Yes, but also you connect people to the local church. I mean, that's the brilliance of what you do. You're there, and then you connect to the local.
I don't connect them to me. I tell them, because it's, whether it's on Facebook, whether it is on YouTube, whether it is on television, we get lots of phone calls. And there are people in the television station who pray with people, mm-hmm. who answer those phone calls, who answer those emails. And then every broadcast that I do, I tell people, support your local church, support your pastor, support your ministry. You are not subscribing to become a member of our church. We are encouraging you, support your local congregation and be a witness and a minister there wherever you are. So we plug them in there.
Right.
We don't call attention to ourselves.
And what's really fun was when I was with Gemeinschaft in Ethiopia, it's amazing, right? Because when you're going down the street, everyone knows them.
Russ, I think you got muted, or maybe you got unplugged here.
Yeah, he got unplugged.
Am I? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yes. Maybe back up just a little bit.
Yeah. So when you go into Ethiopia, every single person knows him. I mean, you go into a restaurant, they come up and say hi to him. You go in a, you walk down the street, people stop. So he's casting a very wide net. And it is really remarkable. And it's absolutely what he said. I mean, he will, at that moment, give everything he has to that person for the 2 minutes or 7 minutes. And then he walks down the street, you know, another 100 yards, and there's someone else. And he gives all that for, and it might be 60 seconds, and walks down the street. But it's always, but the nice part is it could really become about him, but it's really beautiful that it's always about Jesus. And so he's always pointing to Jesus, and he's always then pointing people to a local church. So truly is an evangelist. There are not a lot of evangelists in this world anymore, but he's an evangelist. And, you know, a pastor might be one who would sit with you for many hours and hold your hand through a difficult situation. An evangelist is one who has a heart to tell people about Jesus and has to tell him about Jesus. It's like the words in his mouth and he can't stop but share it. And that's what happens. But that means, like he kind of shared, it's a lot of quick conversations, a lot of pointing to Jesus, getting out of the way, and then moving to the next person. But it really is beautiful to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah. Russ, I know that when we first started working together, you mentioned something about, you know, the goal of a preacher or a minister, like the end goal is that you would have beautiful feet. And I go, what does that mean? And you're like, in scripture, beautiful are the feet that come and bring the good news and share the good news. Like, you want someone with good news to show up at your doorstep. You want them to talk to you. I thought that was a really,
yeah,
it confused me at first.
Well, and that story is, so my pastor, Phil Tukwa, is he's an evangelist, just like this. He tells everyone about Jesus. And when I was becoming a pastor, well, before that, but after he baptized me, he would every year on my birthday give me a pair of shoes. And he ended up buying these shoes for like $5 for a pair, and he bought 30 pairs. And so every year he gives me the same shoe. Exactly. And it's like, but he says, your feet are beautiful, not because they're beautiful, but because you're bringing the good news. Mm-hmm. And so every year he reminds me of that with my pair of $5 now, like 1989 or 1992 high tops that, you know, so beautiful feet.
Yeah. Oh, I'm curious, Jenny, in your experience doing missions in Denmark or other areas, what did that look like kind of on your average day?
Wow. So I think I've been really blessed to work in a lot of different situations. I served overseas, but I also served at the Lutheran Campus College Church in Ohio, like at Ohio State. And that looked different than serving in Colorado. And that looked different vastly from Southern California. And so for me, I think the constants that I would say are, I have to be in the Word of God, and everyone needs that. Everyone needs it at different paces and different levels. A wise pastor once told me, a friend of mine now, not at the time, he just, you know, was kind of a quirky guy, but he could really see people. He looked at me one day and said, Jenny, in order to function at your base level, just like you need 8 glasses of water a day or this amount of food, you need to spend 2 hours in scripture every day. And I looked at him and I'm like, you're crazy. How, what? A, you don't know me, but B, how, and so, but it's true. I found that for me, I need at least minimum 2 hours of scripture and prayer a day. That's not because I'm a super Christian or I'm holy. That's what I need. Some people need different things. And that's my base. In every place I've served, I have to be in the Word of God. And if I do not have that or have some caffeine, you can tell really quickly by being around me if I've been in the Word. I think the other thing is that the way I've served, it's kind of a balance between preaching and teaching and spending time with people. So I enjoy both, but I've learned that your preaching and your teaching in the ministry and mission I've been called to is a lot stronger when you know the people that you're working with. So Dr. Gumentius is called to be around the world and working with people he might not know. For me, I've been called primarily to places where I get to really know the people well. And so you don't change your preaching to fit them, or you don't change your everyday interactions to fit them, but rather you let the Word of God, whatever I'm reading that day, that then becomes all of the encouragement that I'm sharing with people throughout the day. And it's amazing how God will take those few verses of scripture and you'll see every person you come into contact through that lens. So being in the Word of God, being present with people, but also listening. That's something I've really grown to appreciate. How do you listen well? I aspire to be as good as Gumentius's dad, but to really not come with your own agenda to a conversation, but to come and to listen, whether it's you're going to the grocery store and so you're doing life with people, or you're hanging out or playing football or, you know, listening to music, but to listen to where other people are at and to provide that space to do that. So those are the kind of the constants in my life and all of those different places. If you want stories, there's some kind of fun and wild stories, but that's at like everyday life in all of those places for me.
Gotcha. I'm curious from either one of you, if you want to speak to this. I know there's some high school students that are going, you know, I'm considering going into, you know, full-time vocational mission work. And they ask me, you know, is there a right reason versus a wrong reason to go into full-time missionary work? I'm just curious, you both have worked in missions. Is there a wrong reason? And could you speak to it?
If I say a few points on that, the wrong reason that I say, there can be some, at least three wrong reasons. The first one is if you are going into ministry because somebody is telling you to. Maybe your parents or your friends or your pastor, or because somebody is just pushing you, that's the wrong reason, just because you are driven into it, because you're pressured into it, or because you are lured into it. That's the wrong reason. So you have to have the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your own. The second wrong reason is if you think that you are better than others. Mm-hmm. You are not going because you are better than others. There have been wrong missionary activities because some people thought that because they are going into mission because they are better than others. I have seen some missionaries who have been kicked out of the mission field because of arrogance or pride or self-righteousness, or some kind of those kinds of bad behaviors. I'm not going into different countries or different cultures or different people because I am better. I am there because I am sent to serve. I'm there to wash their feet and to show them the love of God. I am there to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ, and at the same time to learn good values and culture and good history and stories from them. Humanity has also other things to share. So it's an exchange. So that kind of mentality. So some people think that they are. Others going into mission just because there is an open door readily available, because I can afford it, or because there is just an open door, I'm just rushing into it. That's also a bad reason. So when you decide to go into ministry, make sure that you are making this decision with the help and guidance and conviction of the Holy Spirit stirring your heart, and confirmation from the Word of God, and and then making a decision in consultation with God through prayer, with friends, and listening, and then making a clear and strong decision. And not with arrogance because you are better than others, but because you want to learn and also serve, and then make that process work for you in a very, very good way.
Yeah, there's a true humility that I think God desires in his servants, right?
Exactly.
I would say the other thing that when I was living overseas, I was blessed to be able to welcome other guests to serve in short-term and long-term capacities. And in the U.S., again, just to be clear for people listening, overseas mission is great, but God can also call you to serve in a mission field right here in the United States. And it might just be your own church. It doesn't have to be in an inner city. Mission is a very broad topic, just to make sure. Mm-hmm. But I've seen that some people are really struggling with their faith, and it is okay to struggle with your faith. Really good to ask questions. I cannot say that enough. And I've seen people struggling with their faith, or they may be struggling with something in themselves, like an addiction problem, or they were abused by their family, or they just got something like that. And again, that's okay. God will use you. He promises in Romans 8:28 to work all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose and who love him. And so, but it's really important to not be serving like as the main boss, as the main leader in an area. When you have those big things to work out, God will still use you in smaller areas. But we had some people come overseas who said, yeah, I thought I should be a missionary because I thought it would increase my faith. I'm not sure if God exists, but I thought if I was a missionary, then for sure, God would strengthen my faith. Now it's true. God strengthens your faith, but that's not a good idea. So just as a word of warning, go and talk to your pastor, talk to a friend. If you feel called, but maybe you've got some big things in your life, or if you are struggling with an addiction, I promise God will redeem all things. But before you go overseas or even into full-time ministry, talk to a counselor, talk to someone so that you can serve more fully and not have your sin be laid upon other people. Because like Dr. Gamentius said, I've seen some situations where then it ended up hurting people. So just something to throw out there. But otherwise, for those people who are worried, like, what if I go and screw it up? Don't worry, you'll make mistakes. And God will use them. So I'm sitting here today after, we had a bonfire in a church parking lot that the sparks almost caught on the trees and Pastor Russ did not fire me. So, God will use all things. But yeah, just some words of caution for folks that I've seen that, and we had to send people home from the mission field, and it was painful for them and painful for the people they were serving with. And so.
Yeah, I find a lot of peace in looking in the Bible and going, some people had their stuff worked out and some didn't, and somehow God still worked through them. So how much quicker can you get to sharing the gospel if you've worked through your stuff before showing up, right? Right. Oh, I love that. One last question here for you. And if there's something that I didn't ask about that you're going, oh, I wish you would have asked about this, because I feel like this would be something the high school students could really grow from, learn from, consider, is there any advice that you would leave with our high school students? Some of them are really ready to rush into ministry and they're excited. Some of them want to be pastors, some missionaries, others, they're not sure where God's leading them, but they're open. Any words of advice that you would leave with them today?
Thank you very much for asking this question too. And one of the key things in ministry that high school students are usually scared of is if you become a missionary or a very serious committed Christian or disciple, that's going to change your lifestyle, change your friends, change the things that you love to do. The music that you listen to, the movies that you watch, the schools that you go to, the games that you play, and it's going to change your total lifestyle and pull you out of normal social circle and put you in some kind of monastery or in some kind of lifestyle that's totally separate. Be yourself. Look at Jesus. Jesus did most of his evangelism around dinner tables. Mm-hmm. I used to call them dinner evangelism. He likes to go out to dinner. Zacchaeus was over dinner. Matthew was over dinner. And at the house of Lazarus, Mary, Martha, over dinner. Last Supper, over dinner. Most of the things were just in social interaction. He likes evenings with friends. So Jesus loves his evenings with friends. They like fishing, they like walking, they like playing, they like singing. So a normal lifestyle. So sometimes we make Christianity look like totally an isolated, serious lifestyle where you sit in an office, prepare a sermon, talk to people once a week, and then they don't, if you touch them, you go out to dinner with them. So be normal human being in a normal lifestyle and love people and love with people, love life and laugh and enjoy and grow in every aspect of your life. And the second and last point is always, always maintain and create and maintain relationship with everyone that you can. And I just remembered a story. I don't know if it was Russ, when you were with me in Ethiopia, we were sitting on the higher floor, the Hilton, and we were looking over Addis, and a friend of mine showed up. He's a Muslim. And I was building a relationship with him and sharing Christ with him. And in the middle of our conversation, I will say, oh, it's time for my Muslim prayer. And I was sharing with him about Jesus. So a relationship. And then he came back and I told him, I reminded him a story. One day we were flying from Atlanta to Washington, D.C. to catch a plane to Ethiopia. And we were on the same flight. And the plane ride from Atlanta to D.C. was so scary. It was very turbulent. And we were so just, it was scary. And I was sitting at the back and he was sitting at the front. And I said, you know, Awol, what I thought? I'm going to die on this plane because I went to that plane with the wrong passenger, with somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. And he said, oh, Pastor Gamaches, I was thinking exactly the same. I was in the same plane with somebody who is a pastor who is not believing in Allah. So that's why we're dying today.
That's fun.
So you build a relationship with people where they are so comfortable with you about sharing their life and their faith and their jokes with you, which really opens a big door so that you can love them into the kingdom of God, love them into Jesus Christ. And that is how so don't be scared of becoming a missionary. Christianity is fun. Christianity is life. And thank God for the witness of Luther. He even made it down to earth where a normal human being can serve Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ in any vocation, in any profession, in any ministry.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Jenny, any last words of advice or insight?
Everything Dr. Gamench has said, I mean, and I would say that every generation of people has things that they're gifted at, and things that people kind of tease that generation for. I know that you all who are watching, people rag on you all a lot in your generation. And I just here to say, looking at the events of the last months and years, you all get it. You know how to serve. You are leading the way for all of us who are older than you. You get how to do this, whether it's, I mean, it's in your DNA. And so I would say, you're already doing it. Like Dr. Gamenja said, you're already in relationships. You don't have to wait. Like, you just be yourself. And it's not that you have to go to school to hit someone over the head with the Bible. Just be yourself and be faithful and be who God has made you to be as you're sharing the love of Christ in both word and action. And for those people who are impatient to like do it full time, as in professionally, I am with you. I was the worst student at school because I could not wait to get out. I had done a year of service work before I started school. I did a gap year And I learned so much. So if you're interested, I do recommend a gap year. It's very fascinating and can kind of help you process stuff more than just, I mean, Nexus does a phenomenal job in the summer, but it's like that expanded if you get the opportunity. But I was like the worst student because I had a taste of what it was like to be doing it 24 hours a day. And so I worked full time while I went to school full time. That's how I met Pastor Us. And it was a lot of work, and it's something that I can say on the other side. I know sometimes you have to learn yourself, but I would recommend not doing that because I was exhausted by the time I finished school, and I didn't get to enjoy school as much as I wanted to. But if you're interested in full-time professional ministry, start working at your local church. Like, find your local church close by where you're going to school and sit down and talk to the pastor or talk to the youth leader and say, I'm interested in this as a profession. Could I help with something? And I know what their answer will be. Trust me. So you will be the most valuable person on their staff as a volunteer or as paid. But then the third thing I would say is you all as a generation, you get this. This is in your DNA. I can't say that enough. And we have so much to learn from you. But to make sure that, as Dr. Gamencha shared a little bit ago, you're doing it from a place where it's not about you, where it's the love of God overflowing out of you. You're passionate about serving, but ask yourself why. I mean, all good answers, but is it because, just a question to think about, that you see your neighbor and your heart hurts because they don't have food in their stomach, because God loves this person. And so you're aching for them to know that love as well as to have a full stomach. Or you see them in a bad situation, one of your friends, and you see, wow, they're really having a hard time at home. I can't fix that, but my heart hurts because I see that that's not how Jesus wants it to be in life. Not that you can fix it, but you can be prayed. Ask, what's your motivation? And over time, it doesn't start out that way. It didn't start that way for me, but you see it shift from me wanting to help and fix the situation to seeing God is King and Jesus is redeeming all things. And so let that be your motivation over time.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Well, before we wrap things up here, I'd love to just pray for both of you and your ministries. And Russ, would you lead the prayer? I've prayed in a lot of these interviews, and I'd love to hear a full-blown pastor lead the prayer.
Well, let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the way that you work and you continue to work in this world. I thank you that as we listen to Gamencius and Jenny, one common theme was their love for scripture, that as they ate and devoured your word, they were like John who experienced that word to be sweet in their mouths and on their lips, and they had to say it, and they had to share it. And yes, Lord, like John in the book of Revelation, it became bitter in different times where it's hard work and their struggle, and yet it's still sweet. It's a message they have to proclaim, because if this world is ever going to be changed, gracious God, it's going to be changed by those being witnesses to your Son. And so watch over the work that they're doing, but also in this Nexus group, those who are watching right now, for anyone who has a call to missions or anyone who has tasted the Word of God and it's good and who has to speak it, encourage them to speak it, to proclaim it, to share it. And for those who've tasted God's word and it's not that sweet to them right now, well, keep letting them eat of that word and make it sweet, because it really is good. Watch over them, watch over us, bless them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Russ.
And I'm running off to a prayer meeting. So thank you guys very much. Many blessings.
Thank you.
For the opportunity to join you guys.
Yep, thanks, Jenny. Thank you, Dementius.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.